Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ. JB out on assignment. Tommy back in the house. Tommy, long time no see. How you been?
I've missed you, man. It's been way too long.
Well, I didn't know you were aiming, so I'm glad you missed.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's, you know, January, February, and we already have College Football 26 news, very, very vague news, but news does exist nevertheless. College Football 26 on January 16th, this was announced. It's coming out this summer. I don't think this should be a surprise. Do you understand the community members who are always a little apprehensive? Will there be a 26? Will there be a 27? When the game goes 11 years away, I can understand why you'd be nervous. But when it ends up being the number two game of 2024, it lost in that last month to Call of Duty. All the Christmas sales knocked it to number two. EA comes out January 16th, before the title game was even played, and says the College Football 26 will be back and dropping this summer. Tommy, we talked about this a little bit on the Gaming Tailgate forums. What are some reasons? Why do you think they announced it so early?
Honestly, the only thing I can really kind of come up with is for investor relations, to try to get them to buy into the game early. And I don't know when quarter push is or anything, but at the same time, they, you know, always looking to kind of catch that energy. The whole idea that they've more or less stopped patching it, obviously. Now, right. I've not seen anything, but who knows? I don't expect any more patches personally. So, you know, it's kind of moving on to that next game. Mm-hmm. And again, like you said, nobody is surprised at all in general. Mm-hmm. There was, I guess, a little room for them to consider to do it every other year or something like that. I mean, at the end of the day, EA likes money, so that's not going to happen. But
right.
At the same time, you know, it's nice for it to be announced so that there's no ambiguity and we don't have to, you know, this time last year, we were still wondering what is EA going to do
and if or when.
If or when, and people were saying the game's not coming and so forth. So at least now it's out of the way. So
we had that big debacle last year during the title game when some outlets, you know, Matt Brown had heard that maybe something was coming. We had another outlet saying, yes, they're going to put out something during the title game, and nothing came. And through no fault of EA's, they got skewered because fans had false hopes from these other outlets. Some other reasons I thought of maybe why so early: NIL pressure. We're getting to that point here probably in another month or so, maybe two. EA is going to have to start sending out those contracts to players. So if you know that this game's coming, fans are going to want it back like it was last year with all the players. Maybe it's to get some NIL pressure to get players to sign. We'll talk about that a little more with another topic later in the show. Another reason, maybe to get ahead of information and leaks. You know, if Matt Brown stumbles across something with his FOIA request, maybe there's no shock that the game's coming. That way it's already out there and done. So at least that part of it's not a big shock or surprise. Another reason, and at the time I thought it was pretty low chance, but again, this ties into another topic later on. Maybe there's game news or even a community feedback request from the team coming soon publicly. And we did get a little bit of that later on. To go back to your point with the investors hype, I think there was some of that there. If I remember correctly, February 4th, there was an investors call. And if I didn't get a chance to listen to it the most, from what I read, if I remember correctly, it sounded like FIFA, or I should say EA Sports FC, underachieved a little bit for EA standards. So I think they maybe wanted the good news of, you know, the number two sport, you know, number two game in the country coming back next year to kind of counteract that bad news. So I think your theory with the investors hype, I think was probably more than likely a big reason for this. And it is worth mentioning the game is now available to wishlist on PlayStation Store or Xbox Live Marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously that's pretty early, but of course there's nothing actual news associated to it, right, other than it's coming. You know, all we've gotten is a logo that just says 26 on it, but it's the same exact font as last
right.
year. So nothing, you know, shocking there or anything like that. So, but yeah, to your point, it's you know, with the football club title, the EA FC not doing so well, then yeah, they wanted to still have something to kind of have the momentum of college football come around and just kind of, you know, say, hey, you know, we've still got reason for you to give us your money. So come on in.
It was interesting that the game, you know, through the later stage of the year was the number one selling game in the country. And then finally in that last month, when we got the final numbers 2024, it dropped to number two behind Call of Duty. Not a big shock that Call of Duty was probably a lot of Christmas requests, and that really pushed it over the line. I did notice, though, on some listings that the MVP bundle was its own item. So I wondered if you could really separate Madden and College out of that, Would that have put it number one? Maybe, maybe not. But I think it's worth noting that. So technically, Culture Bowl is on there twice. I mean, if you go down the further list in that top 10. So I'm sure EA knows the real numbers, but nobody's ever really clarified if it was number one.
Yeah, that's always the thing is that I don't know where those numbers come from. Is it a, combination of physical sales plus digital sales from all markets and, so on and so forth? I mean, I'm assuming Call of Duty is still on PC these days. I don't play it much myself,
I don't
so
either.
that's just another market for them to be in. So again, it's zero surprise. Call of Duty is Call of Duty. The surprise was just that the college football game did as well as it did. Number two is huge. Just beating Madden is huge.
And NBA
Obviously,
2K.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, even yeah, beating the 2K game. To me, that's huge. Obviously, there was a lot of desire for the game and a lot of for it to return and everything. And obviously, in general, I think most people received the game very well. So that just encouraged other people to buy the game again, or not buy it again, but buy the game. So yeah, long story short, the question is, can they, still do this next year with the same kind of momentum?
Right. It's gonna be tough. I wonder if part of putting the game on wish list so early is to kind of gauge the interest and hype. Because we've talked about this on previous shows, but I think it's worth mentioning. Personally, I think the sales will go down, and that's not a knock on the game quality because I have no clue what the feature set's going to be, what's going to be in the game. But I think just last year the hype was just so high and so monstrous that eventually we're going to get to the point where people get back to, because on average, I think the data shows that people only buy sports games every other year, every third year, depending who you talk to. So I think the sales will go down at some point. And maybe this is the way to try to evaluate. Is it a 5% drop? Is it a 20% drop? Maybe this is something to just kind of gauge the hype.
Yeah, absolutely. And to kind of see, some people want to say, oh, because we have the NIL players, then that's why the game sold so well. No, of course, that's not the only reason. There's a lot of different reasons. But the question is what's going to cause 26 to sell well or sell poorly? It's going to be features. It's going to be, do they really push for a reason for people to buy the new game when, like you said, most people probably buy it every other year at best. So, eventually, I wouldn't mind seeing EA go to a model like that. They would just have to be able to support the game in between and provide patches and stuff like that. Which could be difficult. Obviously, it's yeah, it, maybe they have a roster update that you can buy in between or something like that,
I don't know, the
so.
way the patches went this year in 25, I'm hesitant to go to a patch model because they
Yeah,
need
no,
that
I
reset to get some of these
yeah.
things figured out. We mentioned, why did they announce so early? And one of the ideas was maybe game news or the request for community feedback could be coming soon. I don't think that's why they announced it so early, but that community request feedback, there has been a little bit of that. Scott O'Gallagher, I've seen him listed as design director. I've seen creative director. Let's just say he's a director. He's an important guy on the team. Comes out and asks, which celebrations did you use the most in 25? Which ones do you want to see added in the future? I thought that was tremendous that he did that because it kind of ticks me off, frankly, how so many large companies, large video game companies, almost go all the way to avoid direct community feedback. And he went straight to Twitter and said, "What do you want to see?" So I want to give him credit for that. And I'm cynical and I try to be a smart ass. How many people do you think, either publicly or privately, inside the company said, "Why did he do that? Why is he engaging with these people, and how they're going to expect it more?" But still, I want to give him credit for doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that EA needs to do more of, even if it's just, you're shouting in to avoid, at least somebody ask the question and you can give a response. Whether or not they read it is going to be another thing. But at the same time, you had that forum to at least give some feedback. That's always been a big issue, is that it seems like EA will send out, but they don't want people to send in, sort of thing.
Or they
It's
disappear after we get past the marketing season. Like during
exactly.
marketing season, they're front and center and love the camera, love the blogs, and then, release date hits and they're on a milk carton for 10 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, after the first month or so, you didn't hear anything. I mean, even, within the first month, there wasn't much to hear. It was all from their, influencers column, I guess, that the YouTube community doing their videos. So, but yeah, it definitely needs to have some sort of way to do a feedback, even do a, a survey of everyone, just unlimited, let everyone sign in and do a single survey or whatever, just to kind of gather feedback. And it can be a, 100 questions, and you fill out what you want to fill out, or who knows. But just something to at least say, hey, we want to listen to you, and this is the best way to collect it.
Because I've seen some of the devs on the team come out and say, especially at that first big patch, said, hey, we're reading, hey, we're paying attention, hey, we're listening. You might very well be. I'm not going to question that. But when the only time I see that is when you're kind of looking for credit, it kind of negates that point. Whereas here, when he's, a member of the team directly saying, hey, we're doing this, what do you want to see? That to me, that's putting out community feedback. That's not me just me saying, hey, I'm listening to you, Tommy. If I don't talk to you for 10 months, am I really listening? You don't know that.
Right. Yeah, and there were so many things that did not get addressed that the community was complaining about, that, and not new features. I'm not saying new features, but like corrections and bug fixes and things like that, that it you they kind of buried their head in the sand to a standpoint that, these are things the community was asking for, and they never even addressed them. It's one thing to say, well, we can't really get to that this year. I understand that's going to piss some people off, but at the same time, just give us some sort of, feedback one way or another.
And it kind of even just like in Dynasty mode, there were so many icons and details and aspects that people never really knew what they meant. Luckily, the community, I think, really rallied across all different mediums, being, Twitter, Reddit, Discord groups, to kind of figure out what things meant, or at least come to a, generally accepted community consensus on what they meant. Whereas EA could have easily came out with a dev stream in that first month with a Dynasty walkthrough. Now, we did have a Dynasty mode walkthrough. They did, I believe, launch weekend. It was on a Friday or Saturday night. I know I missed it. I was out. Saturday night's a great time for a live stream. And I thought, surely I can go back later and watch this on Twitch. I believe there was a 2-hour stream with one or two of the devs. They didn't archive it. So that stream, live stream, could have been the most detailed Dynasty walkthrough we've ever seen. I did not see anybody talk about it online, at least not in massive numbers. But then you would have thought that they would have saw the feedback after launch. What does this mean? What does this mean? How do we do this? Let's just have somebody go on stream and show this. And they never did it. And so it's frustrating, even on that sense. Not to mention, 26 feedback. Just tell me how 25 works. As we're still seeing and finding things now, 6, 7 months after release.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got way too many hours in the game. I read way too much from Reddit and wherever else I can find the information. I literally, in the past couple of weeks, found that you can see how many recruiting hours are left in a dynasty for the other users for that week. So, as a commissioner, I never knew that was there. So I was always assuming people were doing their job or not doing their job or whatever. But now you can actually, if you go to the members tab and scroll to the right, you can actually see how many hours they have left for the week. So it's small things like that. I mean, again, that's not something that's going to sell more copies, but at the same time, give people more information on the game so that they're more invested in playing the game.
To go back to the OG's question here, Tommy, celebration feedback, I'll ask you, and there's some things we can talk about here. What do you want to see most for celebrations, and what have you heard from the community? I know this is a wide open question, but.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the actual celebration, I don't have anything to add in there. I mean, that there's so many different ones out there. So, I mean, how do you decide what to add and what not to add? Probably in celebration relation, I would want to be able to customize what buttons do which celebration, because I found almost every time I was pressing similar combination every time, just because A, I knew what it was and everything, and B,
It's just habit.
I'm not one that's going to celebrate a lot, so it's kind of let's just get the celebration going sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, if you could do something like that to where, made it a little bit easier or something.
One of the animations that I've seen people request in response to OG's question is the ability just to hand the ball to the ref. They want the Barry Sanders. LeBron James, doing his pump move, which I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you probably want that because a lot of Ohio State players do it, especially with LeBron and with the, home state tie. We did ask way back on November 19th, in my opinion, at that time, like four celebrations that really seemed to be the most popular that in real life that were not in the game. Are you familiar with all four of these? And I'll read them for anybody who's listening to us. Bring the Boom, the Rizzler, the Shuffle, and the Walt. If I just say
And
those names, do you know any of those?
no. I do not.
Oh, you do
I've
not.
heard, isn't the Rizzler some kid character like
He's a kid.
meme basically?
Yes. And I don't know. I don't know how well these are going to play any of these. And I could explain the backstory on some of these. But the Bring the Boom, the Rizzler. I don't even know. It would take like a half hour to explain the lore behind it. But basically, it's social media influencers. The Rizzler's a little kid who's like a neighbor or friend to them, and he seems to be currently a little more popular just because he's a younger kid and kind of funny without trying to be. But during the season, Quinn Ewers did Bring the Booms after he scored against Oklahoma. Some players have done the Rizzler. The Shuff West Virginia player doing it here. The one that I think a lot of people saw that went viral quite a bit because it's so unique was Jalen Waldhall did the Walt, where after his score, he stood on his head. Pro players were doing that. So that one, I think, is one of those that's very big as well. Like all four of these, college players did it, and then pro players did it within the next several weeks. So I would not be shocked if some combination of these four are added to the game because at least in this previous season, we're pretty popular.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about the Walt, as you see in the clip, the referee throws a flag. So, I mean, are you going to have a flag in the game?
But and the NFL didn't flag it, as far as I know.
But college football obviously is a little bit different. So,
Is it, or it just depends on the referees?
but that too, I mean, they obviously they
The game doesn't
did
have
not
face
know what
masks,
to think
Tommy,
of
so they're
it.
going to let celebrations go. Have you not played
Yeah,
25? We don't have a
yeah.
lot of penalties, Tommy. It's just holding, man.
I would be curious if they had intentional penalty celebrations so that you can like rub it in the face of your opponent or something like that.
Right.
You're up 30 points or something. So,
But those are the four that kind of stood out to me, and we did the community polling. Bring the Boom was the leader. I would not be shocked if some combination of those four got in.
yeah, I mean, again, I'm not a huge celebrations guy. Like you, I'm kind of a either Barry Sanders or, maybe a Gronk spike or something like that. But,
Right.
that's about the
Something
extent
basic.
of.
Not. I
Yeah,
don't like the
exactly.
long the ones that play out long time. I'm not a huge fan
Right,
of.
right. Yeah. No, I'm the same.
Now, what can we expect in 26? Matt Brown. We've joked on previous shows that if you liked everything that went into 25 in terms of community relations and discussion and marketing, you're going to get it with 26. I feel like we're already started down that path a little bit. Matt Brown, going back to the well with his FOIA request, has found what EA has been sending to schools for an asset review or asset refresh for the game. None of this is a big shock on what they're asking, but I think it's also worth mentioning, like, the last couple of years when Matt was getting the same information for what was going to go into the game, it's no guarantee it's going in. So
Yeah.
don't take anything we say here in the next, few minutes or anything you read. If you go to extrapointsmb.com and read this, it's no guarantee because there's stuff that a lot of schools are wrong. They had like music in the wrong spots, bad field art. And you got to think some that the school signed off on. So no matter how hard EA tries, that doesn't mean it's going to be in or going to be right.
No,
Some of them.
absolutely. That's the thing. They've got to have a partnership, and at the end of the day, the school has to kind of want to have it right.
They've got to hold EA's feet to the fire. I mean,
Yep.
if EA's not going to go direct to the fans for any kind of feedback, then the schools are really our last resort, to put it nicely. Stadiums and fields, we're just going to blow through this because it's not the most riveting reading, but we do want to at least mention some of the things they're asking for. Updates to the stadium, more chants and stadium call-outs, video and images of the team, especially in the tunnel about to run out. As they run out, and the lighting team is requesting that, if possible, they want it from a night game. They want that different feel or different look. They want to know what that looks like. They want information on changes to prize stickers, apparel partners, captain patches, helmet bumper designs, etc. Captain patches is interesting because I feel like people think it's more common than it really is, just because in the pros it's so mandated in college. And maybe I'm wrong here. I feel like it's vast minority of schools do it. It is not a widespread thing. So it's interesting to see if EA goes through that, I don't want to say bother, but through that extra work to get those in for the schools that actually do it. Mascots, there was only like 40 total in the game. I think it wasn't a huge number of them. So they're working on that. I think that's not a big shock. They wanted to get feedback on the marching band uniforms. The one that I think was the most offensive was an Ohio State's band uniform was wrong, and people really were not impressed with that, especially when you had that cutscene before you play at Ohio Stadium, and they're wearing the wrong uniform, basically. So they want assets for that. New
Yeah, I
licensing
mean,
questions.
in
Go
terms of the
ahead.
bands, sorry, in terms of the bands, it's the uniforms in the game are pretty much, I think, all generic. Like there's
Yeah.
only maybe a few designs. I could see wanting to get Ohio State's correct, but At the same time, I couldn't tell you what Arkansas State's band uniforms look like. I mean,
Right.
I could kind of make up something in my head, but I would probably be just as wrong as EA was, sort of thing. So it's, to me, that's low on the totem pole. Again, get Ohio State right, maybe a few others, but at the same time, I wouldn't spend too much time on that
It kind of
personally.
felt like the design of it was it just pick a primary, secondary, and popped them into place. Maybe they're gonna go through and handpick the colors to at least get it in the ballpark. I'm like you. I as much as I hammer and nitpick on details, bands ones is relatively low for me. But I understand if it's something blatantly wrong, get it right. Any former players or legends they want to see included in the game. That's interesting because this year it seemed like most of the players were former pro players. They're using the NFLPA license basically in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were, I think, a handful of people players that I saw advertised that were not. I didn't play a lot of Ultimate Team or haven't played a lot of Ultimate Team, but every now and then I see a name pop up that I'm less familiar with, or I know that they're not a big NFL player or something like that. So, but yeah, I think you and I talked about this before that, each school has their own legends of players that never made it to the NFL, but at the same time, if they were in the game, that would be a huge addition for that team.
And that goes into we're not going to go straight to that topic, but our next topic basically, there's only so much money to go around. And there's people arguing that the current players need more money. The schools want more money. The trophies, the sponsorships want more money because they didn't get all the player awards in the game. There's a lot of hands who are trying to get in the pot. And so I think it's tough. But I am like you. I thought they would get more, but maybe that's something that will happen more in 26.
To me, Ultimate Team is something that just it makes money, so that should be something quote unquote easy to do. I mean, yeah, you have to negotiate and all that stuff, but at the same time, you pay that player a portion, of whatever their proceeds are or something. I don't know how to exactly it would work, but at the same time, they've got to come up with something.
Information on school hashtags, changes to logos that are no longer used. And basically, Mac then goes on to say just because they asked for it does not mean it'll be in the game, which I think is common sense, but I know it's tough when you're getting caught in the hype mode and you hear that, your school submitted this information. It's easy to think it's going to be in the game, but it's not necessarily that way. Let's go to our final kind of big topic for the game since we've been away. Tommy, again, this feels like repeating ourselves. It feels like it could have been a show from what, 9 months ago, 10 months ago. There's another entity looking to get involved with NIL, helping to negotiate player name, image, likeness rights, and helping get the players in the game. The new company that is Pathway Sports and Entertainment. I thought this was interesting. It kind of broke over the last week or so. Matt Brown at extrapointsmb.com put out an article what it meant. Front Office Sports has been covering it as well. This company is going out there right now. And maybe we should just reset the stage for people. If they don't know for sure, the players in the game, like on the real teams, real players, not Ultimate Team, last year got $600 in a copy of the game. That's one of those that some of those players said they do it for free. You have a lot of outside entities, media, who thought that was way low. This company, Pathway Sports and Entertainment, what they're looking to do is they are what the company has investor backing. They will be fronting players $1,500 with the promise of additional royalties. It's worth noting, college football did not pay royalties. And you're going to hear a lot of discussion. Front Office Sports had in their article, I believe Matt Brown has mentioned it. They say other similar titles paid royalties. Yes, that's called Madden, and it has way less players. There's only 53 per team, give or take, depending who gets added throughout the year on what, 32 NFL teams. We're in college football. I believe this year we're going to be looking at what, 135 with Missouri State and Delaware coming in. And you're having what 75 plus players approximately a team. You don't have to be a math major to figure that's an astronomical increase. Royalties was going to be a nightmare. And not to get on a high horse here, but what upsets me when I read these articles is that you can go through and do a search and you see nothing about profit margin. You see very little about licensing costs. So it's easy to say that EA had the number two game in the country, that they can pay all this money. And guess what? I think they earned a ton of money. I think they're swimming in the money like Scrooge McDuck. But at the same time, when, if an average fan says they should pay more, I have no problem with it. But then when you have business reporters saying they should pay more, but they're not actually telling me, can they afford it? Like we mentioned a minute ago, there's so many outlets that they can pay money to. There's not that much money to go around. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. And then for the players, what's more? I mean, you're talking about, $1,000, you're talking about 10,000 for certain players. I mean, how does that work? And how do you draw the line for the minimum guy versus the higher, more expensive guy? I mean, at the end of the day, Arch Manning finally signed on just before the game, and you had to believe that there was some sort of agreement, special agreement with EA for him. So I mean,
A
yeah, I
lot of
mean,
players
at
got
the end
more
of the
money.
day, what's that?
So a lot of there were a good number of players who got more through marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And in all honesty, I didn't see them do any marketing. I mean, granted, I'm not following them on any social media or anything, but I didn't see any marketing otherwise. So yeah, I'm curious about that. Obviously, we had the cover athletes and they did some there. So I saw a little bit that, but yeah, in general, non-cover athletes, I really didn't see much of anything. But yeah, at the end of the day, you're going to have some players that feel they deserve more, and so they're going to figure out a way to get more. But then you're going to have other players that don't necessarily garner that same attention that are still going to want to get theirs somehow, But like you said, there's not always money to go around to everyone, so you got to figure out what that looks like. Are you still going to have your $600 athletes, or are you going to say, okay, fine, we'll pay some more, but then the others, you're only going to get $400 now or whatever. It's a balancing act, and yeah, they made a ton of money last year, so they can use that money going forward, but they also know in the back of their minds that the game is never going to sell like that again. I mean,
And they can't say
if
that, but
it
I think anybody who follows video games should understand that.
exactly, yeah. EA knows it. They can't say it, especially not to investors or anyone like that. They can't say it publicly at all. They're gonna brag about their sales next year, no matter what it does. But at the end of the day, sports year-over-year titles do not sell very well. So I say not very well. They don't sell as well as games that have been gone for 10 years and come back. So again, it'll be very interesting to see how 26 does compared to 25, but even more so how it compares to Madden. Does it slip behind Madden? Presumably so, but we'll have to wait and see.
So EA even, based off what Matt Brown had heard, they thought last year that Madden would do better than college football. Like they were hoping what I believe I if I remember correctly, he thought that they said the college football would maybe do a quarter of Madden when it eclipsed Madden. So it's one of
Yeah.
those, however they interpret data and that they might need to reevaluate that. I don't know. It's one of those, I thought Madden would outperform it just because how popular the
It's
NFL is in this
Madden.
country. But after seeing last year, I don't know. I think the whole dynamic might have changed a little bit. It is worth noting, I don't know if it was, which where I read this at, because there are several different places that talked about it. I can't find it exactly in this front office sports article. But there was some discussion that believes that this group could help negotiate to get so the players could be in Madden as well, which basically means bring back the exported draft class feature. I think they're getting way ahead of themselves. I don't know who said that, if it was the author or them. I don't know. It wasn't real clear. I think it's interesting. It's worth mentioning, especially this company has not yet engaged EA, but will initiate negotiations, quote, when the time is right. They have about 450 players already signed on. And I could not find this before the show. I thought I read it was only six schools, but then I've seen power conference schools from Alabama to Oregon. And I want to think Texas Tech, Wisconsin, I read in an article. Don't quote me on that. So I don't know. It's a little, I don't know who advises these players because I think you almost have more power in some regards by yourself if you're a big name player. If you're a lower tier player, I could see where you'd want to sign on to this, but this company has nothing to their name yet that I know of. Maybe I'm not trying to sell them short, but isn't like they can say, hey, we've like Open Doors now can say we've negotiated or worked with you to get you with all these other companies. Pathway to this date that I know of doesn't have that. So I'm kind of surprised. I don't know if maybe is Pathway representing entire schools? Is that who did they sign a deal with the school and kind of I don't know. I need to look into a little bit further, but I'm kind of surprised that so many players would sign on to a company that the way I read it is unproven.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on some level, you're risking being in the game or not. I mean, yeah, you can get your $1,500 from Pathway, but EA may come to you and say, no, we're not going to negotiate with Pathway. You either have to breach your contract or you're not going to be in the game or something, So yeah, at the end of the day, it's, yes, I want the players to get what they deserve, and arguably some players deserve more than others just because of
Right.
name recognition and everything like that. So it is a matter of how do you do that? And it goes into a players union. That's how Madden does it with NFL players, and that's how 2K does it. That's how you can have these negotiations with large groups and make sure that everybody gets a fair shot and that kind of thing. So with college football, there's no way to do that today. Eventually, 5 years from now, I imagine there will be some sort of a players union,
I think
but
there will be as well. For better or worse, I think it's coming.
exactly,
I have my
yeah.
reservations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is there's so much uncertainty in college football in general
Right.
that, one way or another, it's going to shake out, and eventually someone's either going to figure out a way to make money off of that, or they're going to figure out that that players are losing out on too much money because of that,
And see, to harken back to last year, we had where Brand R didn't get the deal to negotiate with players, so there was a lawsuit and ended up being dropped, and the company's merging with One Team Partners. And I don't know how this works. Is One Team locked in as EA's official negotiating partner and is Pathway trying to get in there? Can players opt out of the if okay, I signed on with Pathway, but I don't. But an EA tells them to, theoretically tells them to pound sand. Can I say okay, fine, I'll still sign with EA for six? It's very interesting. I would love to know the fine print. I hope that somebody can get one of those contracts out there, like a Matt Brown or somebody, to see how locked in are those players at those schools.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was not aware that One Team and Brander ended up merging. Maybe that's Pathway's goal as well, is that get enough of these players to where we have negotiating power, and maybe they buy it out from under us, or we truly do have enough voice to say, no, you're going to pay us, and we're going to get 1% of the sales, or whatever it is. It's it's something that's it's going to be very interesting to see how it all works out.
To wrap up the show here, Tommy, I think it's worth mentioning that people who want been asking about are we going to get other college sports in video games? MLB The Show 25 is going to have a little bit of college baseball this year. It's going to have eight teams in Road to the Show that your player, you can pick what school you want to go to. And it will have, and then we can't call it the College World Series because they're not calling it that in the game. It's worth noting they didn't. Apparently didn't want to deal with the NCAA, so they call it the College Baseball Championship. So when you go through Road to the Show, you can pick one of the eight schools, and you play just 3 to 4 games. And I believe it's at Charles Schwab, which is the stadium for the College World Series. I didn't get the best look at the video when they put it out today. So there is more college gaming coming, but obviously generic players. It's just your player, and it's just 3 to 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, this is what Madden did a few years ago with, having some college players
NBA
or some college
2K.
teams rather. Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of a, test the water, so to speak. I don't think there was ever enough. Yeah, everybody loves MVP baseball and the college baseball game that came after it, but I don't think there's enough drive
No.
behind it. In general, college baseball doesn't have enough drive behind it
No, it doesn't,
from my
unfortunately.
standpoint.
It's one of those I would love to play that part of it, but I don't want to pay $70 for it. I would love if they put it out just that part of it for $10 to $20, because I might get it just as a fun pick up and play game. But I don't see that happening, unfortunately. But I like they're doing it, and I think it's one of those. If we're going to get college basketball, it's probably the same thing. It'll probably be NBA 2K doing like they've done in the past. I don't see EA getting in. No offense, when they couldn't make an NBA product work, I don't think they're going to make a college product work.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, what I would like to see, and it's never going to happen because, these companies like money too much, but would be to have alternating years. Have EA College Football 1 year, and then the next year have Madden, and Madden updates the engine, and college football gets the engine the next year. To where you have some reason to buy the game during that lag, but then as well, you can say, okay, well, I'm done with college football. Let me go buy Madden this next year. Do that for 2K, NBA 2K, and do it for College Hoops 2K or whatever it may be. It's not going to happen, but I would love for that.
So for Tommy and JB, this is CDJ. Everyone, thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.